morning, New Life family, and welcome to our online worship service. So in honor of Mother's Day this week, we thought we would host today's service as a mother-daughter duo. My name is Hilda Duoldi, and I have been a member of New Life Church for over 23 years, and this is my mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
My name is Rina Brentsma, and I have been coming to New Life for 7 years. Happy Mother's Day to you too, Hilda.
So whether you are a mom or you have a mom, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And for any dads and kids who are watching, if this Mother's Day thing is new to you this morning, then, well, oops. Hopefully you're watching this in the morning and you still have some time to make that mother in your life feel special and valued and loved.
If you're new here, help us to get to know you by filling out a virtual connection card. The link for this is in the video description.
So we have a few announcements for you all this morning. First one, as a New Life community, we have been participating in Serve 2021. For the month of May, we are challenging you to serve our city together by walking the streets, bagging garbage, and praying for our neighbors. You can get started by emailing Pastor Mike. He will provide you with all you need to get started, including garbage bags, safety vests, garbage picker-upper thingies, and gloves. That's all courtesy of the city of Abbotsford. You can pick your own route near your home or one that you just know needs prayer or has a lot of garbage. We encourage you to either do this by yourself, with your family, with your life group, or with any other group of friends. On Sunday, May 16th at 7 p.m., you're invited to join us for another Abide Worship Night outside the church parking lot. You can register on our website by visiting the events tab. This will be an evening that will involve a time of worship and also a short devotional by Pastor Nathan. So grab your chair and maybe even your umbrella as this event will proceed rain or shine. If you can't make it on the 16th, we'll be hosting another event on May 30th. We encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity to gather together as a church community.
If you haven't heard yet, we have begun phase two of our auditorium upgrade project. We are going to show you a quick video that Pastor Mike will lay out for you all the phases of this project. It is so exciting to see our auditorium get transformed into a brand new space. We invite you to please consider investing in this project.
Hi, I'm Mike Vanderquack. I have the honor of serving here at New Life as executive pastor. And I'd love to tell you about a long-awaited project that we have here at New Life. We're in the process of upgrading our auditorium. And these long-awaited changes are happening now, and it's very exciting. And we invite you to prayerfully consider investing into the church by giving to this project, to help us fulfill the ministry that God is calling us to, not only today, but into the future. New Life's facility was built in the mid-1990s. And over the years, we've had a successful expansion. We've done a number of upgrades to the facility. The Board of Elders has realized that there are some challenges that have presented themselves in the auditorium over the years. They want to upgrade it to present technology, present aesthetic, and we all desire for this facility to be, and the auditorium to be, a place that is welcoming, that is inspiring, that is worshipful, and a place of wonderful celebration. We began the auditorium renovations when COVID began, and we are approaching it in three phases. So phase one was to address the stage lighting system, and also our video projection system. Both were failing. And as you can see now, phase one is complete. We're so grateful that we could complete phase one with our savings. Now on to phase two, which is what we are currently working on. And phase two has a number of different areas that we are addressing. The first area that we're addressing is the color of the auditorium. The acoustic panels is another one that we wanted to address too. They weren't working so well and we had acoustic problems in here. The other aspect of phase two is the house lighting. It is dim, and it's begun to fail. And after so many years of service, you know, we're grateful for it, but it's time to change it out. Phase two, the budget for this is $170,000. And this is what we're asking you to invest into New Life's future by giving towards. And we have secured a loan for $170,000, but we're asking you to give to offset those costs. And the strength of your gifts will give us momentum into the future. Phase three doesn't have a start date yet, and we haven't figured out the project costs. But the scope of phase three is we're going to change the carpet in the auditorium, the ceramic flooring on the main floor also desperately needs to be changed. We're eager also to update the four original bathrooms, the four bathrooms that were built with the facility originally. When those are finished, phase one, two, and three, our auditorium will be wonderfully upgraded, and we'll be so grateful for the worship space and the place of celebration that it will provide. We are asking you to prayerfully give to the auditorium upgrades to invest into New Life's future by helping offset the costs of the auditorium upgrades. We are confident that Christ will use these upgrades for His glory and for His mission today and into the future. And when you give to the Facility Upgrade Fund. And you can give that in a variety of ways. You can e-transfer. You can bring a check to the church. And our New Life app has the option of giving to the Facility Upgrade Fund. Please prayerfully consider giving to this project. We are excited about this investment into the church and into the future. Thank you so much.
Our offering this week is for the Advocate Life and Education Services. Advocate offers friendship, support, and resources to women and families in crisis through their pregnancy center. We encourage you to give this week to this ministry. Participating in the offering is a way to worship God by giving of our money. As you can see on your screen, there are several ways to give. Please join me in prayer for the offering. Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that all that we have comes from and belongs to you. We bring before you the Ministry of Advocate Services. Thank you for the work that they are doing to support women and families that are experiencing difficulties. We pray that the money that is received today will be multiplied and used to your glory. Help us to give joyfully and generously of all that we have. Amen. All right, kids, it's time for Kids Church. This month, we will be starting a brand new series called This or That. We'll be learning about how God built the early church to help ordinary people make extraordinary decisions. Kids, you'll get to discover that you too can make bold choices that can help build our church today. You can visit newlifecrc.ca/kids to find this week's activity to go along with the video. We are now going to join together in worship. We will then hear from Pastor Nathan as he begins our new series called The Art of Serving. Throughout this series, you will be seeing different art pieces that members of our congregation have done that are going to show what it means to serve. This one was done by my mom, a picture of Mother Teresa, who, in my mind, was kind of the epitome of what it means to serve selflessly to others and just to give of herself. So please feel free to pause this video at any time now to set up your kids for their own lesson. Have a great Sunday, everybody, and don't forget to spoil all the moms today that play such an important and special part in our lives.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Let me down. You're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down.
Forever.
in your promises, my confidence is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises, my confidence is your faithfulness.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone, and hope you had a chance to come by New Life Church, pick up a potted plant for Mom, and maybe even get a family picture at our photo booth that we had set up outside, and really hope that your celebrations will be delightful. Today, we're beginning a new series of messages called The Art of Serving, and we've been emphasizing this whole idea of service this year in an effort to try to get our minds off of, the frustration and the misery of being in this pandemic and trying to focus ourselves on placing ourselves outside and outwardly, thinking in terms of serving others. Although perhaps maybe on the other hand, we're just getting tired of all this serving. Dealing with the pandemic seems enough pressure and enough burden that serving might seem like yet another obligation to put upon ourselves and the last thing we would want to do. So let's take a look at this whole business of serving and try to see it from a different perspective, rather than seeing it as merely an obligation or even perhaps simply an optional or an additional thing to do. I want us to explore serving in terms of who we are, the art of serving. And so we're going to do that with the help of some artists from our congregation who will help us to see serving and to see it as a graceful art in living, a graceful art that shapes our very lives and defines who we are. So today we have with us Sue Apperlew, and she's going to be painting a picture that helps us to see serving rather than just hearing about it. And she'll be painting something that reminds us, perhaps even challenges us, to be rooted in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul invites us to root ourselves in Christ. But listen to how he describes that and how he lays that out in Philippians chapter 2, a letter that he writes to Christians who are struggling in the midst of their own hardship. And while Paul himself is in prison, he writes this, Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on to describe the mindset of Jesus in terms of coming from heaven and lowering himself onto earth and giving up his life, even to the point of death on a cross, the most humbling and shameful way to die in that century. And in so doing, being exalted so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So reflecting on this passage, we want to take a more careful look then to see what Paul is urging upon us. And when he invites us to have that same mind of Christ, what does that mean in terms of the art of serving, of shaping our lives around this business of service? And first of all, the call to serve then is at its root about a heart change within ourselves. And that's where I'd like us to begin as we explore this whole idea of serving. It requires a complete heart transformation. In part because, perhaps naturally, but more so in terms of the context of our culture, we're simply taught, we're trained to root our lives and our living in ourselves, trusting ourselves, trusting our own good self-esteem, our own self-awareness, our own self-assertiveness, our self-fulfillment, our self-satisfaction. All of those things are the paramount, the priority of our lives. It's how we're taught to live. If we don't take care of those things, we'll never succeed in life. We're encouraged and trained then to better ourselves, to always see our lives in terms of a projection towards advancement, to greater success, to more wealth, to be happier in ourselves, and to have more and more of the experiences that the world offers. And there's this constant pressure to move ahead. Even in terms of our faith, we think in terms of constantly bettering ourselves in the context of faith. Why believe? Because you'll live a better life. Why trust in God? Because you'll be happier, and it's all rooted in ourselves. Oddly enough, Jesus, Paul says, Jesus' orientation in life was completely oblivious to the self. It didn't even cling to to Jesus' own godliness, but rather gave himself away in humility and love. To have that kind of orientation for life requires a heart transformation. When we take the cross of Christ and make it count for us, it ought to change the way we hold on to ourselves, it ought to change the way we orient our lives away from this focus on self and being self-centered and self-preservation to unselfishness, to selflessness, to being oblivious even to our own successes or our own advancement or our own happiness, our own comfort. If you have any encouragement from Christ, Paul says, then be like him. Orient your life in the way that Christ oriented his life. A selfish view of ourselves is about being rooted in ourselves. A self-focused orientation of our lives requires that we trust only in ourselves to fend for ourselves. We're the only line of defense when we're rooted in ourselves. And then in hardship, we're left only to pity ourselves. And in insecurity, we're left only to try to prove ourselves. And in failure, we're left only to condemn ourselves. But a selfless view, a selfless orientation for our lives comes from Christ's sacrifice. It's rooted in Christ's own sacrifice for us. And then in that sacrifice, we have someone else defending us before God. Jesus Christ himself. And then we can let go of ourselves. We can free ourselves. We can lose ourselves, as Jesus says. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Because we belong to Jesus. He is defending us, and we no longer have to defend ourselves. We're rooted in Christ. That is a heart transformation from a focus on self to a focus on being selfless. Some time ago when I was taking a class on how the Christian ought to look at themselves, I remember the professor commenting about this peculiar difference between a Christian orientation of self, which seems to be oblivious to self, and a secular view of self, which is constantly concerned about self-esteem and self-awareness and self-advancement. To illustrate, he said, suppose, this was a time when Mother Teresa was still alive, said, suppose you asked Mother Teresa what she thought of self-esteem. Mother Teresa, this paragon of Christian service. She would probably answer that she doesn't even ever think of self-esteem. She would probably just kind of be silent and wonder, what kind of question is that? It just wouldn't enter her mind. Because her orientation was rooted in Christ. Her life's ambition was rooted in Christ. And that made this question of self-esteem or self-awareness a moot point. When we're rooted in ourself, we tend to think that anything that troubles us or any kind of inconvenience that meets us in life, we would have to get rid of it for the sake of this constant push for advancement and progress, greater enjoyment, more happiness, greater success. And then looking at serving, serving becomes merely an interruption in life, in that constant advancement. Serving then is kind of a side deal, an optional exercise perhaps. But here, Paul is describing an orientation to life in which we can escape the trap of self by refusing to live by that sense of constant advancement, that sense of constant, the need for constant progress in life. We can escape it by refusing the impression that the cross of Christ and taking up our own cross represents spoiling our progress, or even spoiling our fun in life, or that taking up our cross could only possibly be an occasional occurrence rather than, in fact, the definition of our life, which is what Jesus suggests. See, with a selfless focus, then the cross of Christ transforms us into servants. That heart transformation means that we orient our lives around serving. That becomes the definition, the very characterization of our lives. The trouble is for us is that it's simply not the usual way of thinking. We so easily think in terms of upward mobility, but the way of the gospel is about downward mobility. The pattern of Jesus' life is the pattern that we take on if we want to follow him. He who descended from heaven to earth. He who demoted himself from one person in the exalted Trinity to a mere human being. Jesus lowers himself from truth to a mere teacher of truth. Vulnerable to people's scorn and rejection. Downward mobility. Jesus submits even to death. He who is life itself submits to death on a cross. And from that downward mobility, he achieves everything that God wants him to accomplish. To accomplish our salvation, to accomplish our freedom, to accomplish our forgiveness, to accomplish his own exaltation so that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And he accomplishes that by that downward mobility, all from a position of lower rather than higher, a position of serving. And that's what Paul is calling us to do. It's not to get rid of everything so that life sucks for Jesus. It's to gain a way of life characterized by that very same downward mobility that Jesus exercised in order to accomplish and fulfill God's mission. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, that is our mission. And that's what Paul is calling us to do. So what does that exactly look like? Well, let's take a look at several areas. How about in the area of relationships? Maybe we want better relationships. But it's not going to happen if you think only of yourself. It's not going to happen if you think only in terms of how will relationships make me feel better? How will relationships make me happier? Friends figure out pretty quickly what you're after if you make it all about yourself. People avoid you if it's just all about you. But when you work on from downward mobility, you commit time and energy to others, perhaps even without thinking, and you devote interest to others, you serve others. I always think of Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats, where he divides the sheep and the goats, the righteous and the unrighteous. And the righteous ones on his right, Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Blessed are you, because when I was naked, you clothed me, and when I was hungry, you fed me, and when I was in prison, you visited me." And the righteous ones on Jesus' right say, we did all that? They're oblivious to themselves. They're oblivious to what they've done. And yet, they did exactly what Jesus was calling them to do. And then those on the left, the unrighteous ones, Jesus says, cursed are you because you didn't feed me when I was hungry. You didn't visit me when I was in prison. You didn't clothe me when I was naked. And the unrighteous ones say, we didn't do that because, we had other things going and there was other concerns and there was other problems and, we just couldn't do that. And they make up all kinds of excuses because their orientation is towards themselves. Or on this Mother's Day, consider what it means to be family or to be a better family. A lot of times we concentrate on how we look as a family, and perhaps as parents, we concentrate on making sure our kids behave or making sure they look good for our sake so that we don't look bad as parents. But instead of making our families all about how we look and how we demonstrate how good we are, being a good family is probably all about the demotions we're able to make for one another. What does it mean to serve one another within the context of family? What does it mean to teach our children, or perhaps sometimes to teach our parents, what it means to serve, to look out for the other, to have a higher view of those on the outside rather than within ourselves? Or perhaps even take a look in the whole area of what it means to be a Christian and part of a Christian community in the Church of Christ. I mean, you can go to church in an effort to desire to have a happier spiritual life, perhaps. And you sit there and you say, make me happy. And nothing happens. But when you take the demotion and reach for the servant heart, then your spirit changes. You change your schedule for some God time. You humble yourself to prayer and to listening to God and for God. And you make commitments to a life group or a ministry team. And then you find yourself growing spiritually all the while, practicing this business of serving, the art of serving. And along the way, gaining peace and joy. Maybe when you don't even realize it. Again, oblivious to self, but completely oriented to the very framework of Jesus' own mind in accomplishing the mission of the Father. See, so often we want the cross of Christ to work the other way. I suppose it's somewhat of a natural inclination. We would rather that the cross of Christ remain simply a historical occurrence that happened over 2,000 years ago. And the important piece is that Christ arose, and we'd love to concentrate on the resurrection, or even more, concentrate simply on the victory that the resurrection represents for ourselves. But God's kingdom works in the very opposite direction. The very shape of God's kingdom is a completely different orientation. Followers of Jesus live in the opposite direction of the way our culture orients us. Taking on the form of a servant, we grow as children of God, servants of Christ. That's the heart of Christian community. To see everyone as though first seeing Christ in others. To see them as Christ. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, Jesus said, you do to me. What if, perhaps even for a day, we began to practice that? What if we saw everyone like that? Not only through the eyes of Jesus, but as if they were Jesus. You would grow and you would flourish. Not by focusing on yourself, but you would grow and flourish in the art of serving for the sake of God's mission and for the sake of God's kingdom. You would be rooted in Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, sometimes it's so perplexing to understand how you work in our world. And yet we're left speechless as we watch you accomplishing your purposes in this world in often such upside-down ways. And so as Paul lays before us the way in which you worked through your Son, Jesus Christ, God, you brought him into this world to suffer and to die in order that he might be exalted so that every name, every person would bow before him. And so, God, we bow before Jesus. And we commit our lives to orient around your mission. We commit ourselves to be servants of Christ. We commit ourselves to shaping our lives around serving, to placing others above ourselves. Help us to be faithful in that, Father. Lord Jesus, help us to be rooted in you, the solid rock, so that we can let go of ourselves, so that we can lose our lives for your sake and thereby find it. Holy Spirit, enter into our lives, into our hearts, and into our minds, so that as we find inspiration and joy in Christ, as we find encouragement in Christ, so may we have his mind at work in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And so as you go out into this week to serve and to live as a servant of Christ, may the peace of Christ bless you. And may the joy of Christ inspire you. And may the strength of Christ, even in the midst of misery and hardship and suffering, give you strength to serve him and to serve him alone. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. To live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me
God is a God that we can build our life upon and that we can put our trust in. What wonderful words by Nathan this morning that we heard as he spoke on the art of serving. And what wonderful artists that we have here at New Life that can try to capture the essence of what serving is. If you don't know, we are in a year of serving that we call Serve 2021, and each month we have a specific focus. This month is our Earth Month, and we have the opportunity to clean up garbage in our neighborhood, and we paired that with a prayer walk. So you can come here, you can pick up all the supplies that you need for that, and spend time cleaning up your neighborhood, praying over your neighborhood, and maybe meeting some of your neighbors. May 16th, that's next Sunday night, is our Abide Night. It's an outdoor worship service that we have, and it's a time of worship and prayer and reflection. And we invite you out to that. You can find the registration link on our website or in the encourager. And yeah, we just love to see you out for worship and see your wonderful faces here. As you go, go with the knowledge that God surrounds you and that He loves you more than you would know.